5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sunday, Croc Nation. Dr. Tommy and Ellie here for yet another podcast. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin on the other side of the computer somewhere. Angel, how are you, my friend?
Hello, hello, hello. How was your Easter, Dr. Tom?
I had the best lamb I ever had in my life. Absolutely delicious. I was able to entertain my wife, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, my beautiful baby daughter with our two big Great Danes who I secretly gave them some lamb and they loved it. And my mother-in-law loved it. And my wife's a vegetarian and she hated every second of it. We had some mint jelly. It was absolutely fantastic. How about you, my friend?
It sounds like you didn't have so much of a bad day. That's really, really nice.
That was awesome, by the way.
Ah.
Yeah, it was really good.
The second you said lamb, I'm like, I got to use that.
I didn't have any filet mignon.
No, I mean, it was pretty much close-knit. My parents have been sick, so I was not able to really see them. I haven't seen them in about a week almost. But overall, it was a good day. Spent it with the in-laws, and it was a good day.
So I have some really good news for our listeners today. We're going to do a very short podcast this week. Just adding a little brushstroke to my dear doctor wife, Denise's podcast from last week, utilizing the computer to find your healthcare team. And we're just going to dive in a little bit to clear some things up. And I said to my wife, you did a really, really good job, except you didn't answer any of the questions we asked you. And she said, man, I used to give you such a hard time with your podcast and give you, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do that? Now I know why you didn't, because doing a podcast is absolutely impossible and I'll never do another podcast again. So for all of those who are fans of my wife, make sure you take last week's episode and you memorialize it, because she will never put it. That'll be a valuable episode.
Not easy.
Not easy at all. So, you know, what Denise is very good at is to use the computer as a resource for research. And what last week's podcast was using the computer to find your healthcare team. And we were starting with the primary care physician, which actually is a really, really good place to start, because our primary care physicians are very hardworking, blue collar. They're the blue collar workers of medicine. There's no fanfare. They're not fancy neurosurgeons and orthopedic surgeons and eye doctors and dermatologists driving Ferraris. They drive Pintos and Ford Focuses, and they wear khaki pants, and they're very earthy people. And I love our primary care physicians and we need them. So we're going to talk a little bit about how to research your team, what to look for, and how to use the computer to find your primary care team. So I'll tell you a story, as I tell stories every week. So I turned 60. Well, I will be turning 62 next week. And this year I thought, what a good idea would be to check my heart, right? Because, you know, when you get in your 60s and you eat too much lamb, you better check your heart. So I got a couple of recommendations. I did not do my homework. And I ended up with a cardiologist who was very good and he was very nice, but terrible fit. So I went twice. When I met him the first time, you know, I told him my life story, blah, blah, blah. When I met him the second time, it was like I had never met him before. He didn't remember anything. And, you know, he kept asking me the same questions. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy has no idea, you know, who I am, what I do, no clue. Really doesn't even know anything. Forget about even me being a doctor. Who cares? I mean, he just didn't know anything about me as a human. And he even forgot the reason I was there and what I was trying to achieve. And we had to talk about nothing. We talked a little bit about the Mets. He likes the Mets, I can tell you that. But just terrible. Now I have to find somebody else and I have to do the work. So really, how to find your doctor. So we're not even going to talk about the oncologist, but we're going to just talk about your primary care doctor. So basically, studies have shown, JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, found that mortality rates are lower in counties in the United States that have more primary care providers for each 10 additional primary care physicians per 100,000 people. That was linked to a 51.5-day increase in life expectancy. So very significant. You know, counties that are more rural have less access, don't have that benefit. Primary care providers have an enormous impact on the health and well-being of our patients because they're trained specifically in the assessment and management of comprehensive care. Now, as an oncologist, comprehensive care is not in my vocabulary. I'm a very focused tertiary care specialist who focuses on one thing and one thing only, whereas our primary care physicians have to be great at everything. Unlike a specialist, they're equipped to promote health and wellness via health screenings and conversations about diet, exercise, and mental health, something that we don't have the time to do. They also are trained to treat a wide scope and depth of concerns from acute problems to chronic conditions. And this all adds up to the better impact and the better outcome of a patient. So a primary care physician, that term was first coined in 1961 in a classic New England Journal of Medicine article entitled The Ecology of Medical Care. And we should post that, Angel. We'll have Rod post that to our website. The word frontline worker, we use a lot now with the coronavirus pandemic, but really our primary care physicians are our frontline care providers. And what I want to warn our cancer survivors about is that just because you get cancer, and I see this all the time, when you get cancer, you're seen by your oncologist, and unfortunately, you sort of lose touch with your primary care physician. And that's not good because your oncologist is really important for you for your cancer journey, but really doesn't mean that nothing else can go wrong with you. And they're not really equipped to take care of you as the whole person, a comprehensive evaluation and interaction. And I think that's really sad. As a matter of fact, I see this all the time where patients go to see their primary care physician, just say they get a cold and they hadn't seen them just say in 2 years. And the doctor will see them and they'll say, hey, how are you doing? Well, you know, I had cancer 2 years ago. And they were like, what? Like they don't get any correspondence. They don't get any phone calls. They don't get any records. And it must be such a horrible feeling, you know, because the primary care is so devoted to the general well-being of their patients, that to have a patient, even someone with early stage breast cancer or thyroid cancer or a very curable cancer like prostate cancer, you know, they should know about that. They should know what's going on in their patients' lives. And I find it to be very, very sad. Another challenge, before we even dive into using the computer and what it is that we'll be looking for, is that sometimes, as we saw in oncology, where great oncologists become very busy, get very busy, and they don't have the time. And I call that the Dr. Addio, syndrome. So Dr. Addio was a young doctor in the day back in the 1970s, early 70s, and he was the youngest member of a primary care practice. And my grandfather had been going to one of the senior partners forever and ever and ever. And they were so busy that they basically pawned him off onto Dr. Addio. Now, Dr. Addio was a wonderful man, wonderful. And he was caring and he was nice and sweet as opposed to the other guy who really wasn't that nice. And he treated my grandfather like gold. Now, my grandfather was a very smart and successful man, but he had an accent because he was an immigrant. So many people kind of discounted him, really didn't take him very seriously because, you know, he spoke broken English. But Dr. Addio, was from Brooklyn. He was Italian. So he and my grandfather hit it off very well. And he turned out to be a great doctor. Now, in the beginning of their relationship, he had a ton of time for my grandfather. But when you become good and then your reputation grows, you become too busy. And then you get into the vicious cycle of failure by way of success. So it's a paradox. And that's something we're going to talk about as well. So some of the things that you need from your primary care physician is you have to look at preventative recommendations. You have to look for screening for common conditions like high blood pressure or other types of cancer. Just because you have breast cancer doesn't mean you can't get uterine cancer. Just because you have colon cancer doesn't mean you can't get head and neck cancer or skin cancer or anything like that. Keep tabs on growth and development of the kids, conducting annual physicals, wellness checks, providing immunizations and medications as needed, managing your overall health and wellness. Many health insurance programs require a patient to actually go to the gatekeeper, which is the primary care physician, before they can even see a specialist. So now we're going to talk about using the computer and how to find the doctor. Now, what Denise did a great job on last week was actually demonstrating some of the things that you have to know yourself. Like as Socrates said, or it was Aristotle said, Socrates, know thyself. You have to know yourself. So do you want to see a female doctor? Do you want to see a male doctor? Do you want to see a doctor whose practice philosophy is very, very aggressive, where they're going to give you a pill every time you walk in the door, give you an antibiotic, even if you don't want it? Is it more of a doctor who's holistic, who might just kind of give you some remedies that are non-invasive? Is it someone who's going to get to know you and care about you and spend time with you? Word of mouth is good, but we also have to do our homework. So that brings us, first of all, to the different types of primary care physicians. So you can choose many, many different types. So if you're a woman, you can choose an OBGYN, just a straight up OBGYN, not someone who's a specialist in high risk neonatology, not one that specializes in infertility or in GYN cancer, but just a good old fashioned primary care GYN. Kids can see pediatricians up to the age of 18. Family practitioners see everyone. Geriatricians focus on the elderly, and general internists can also be your primary caregiver. But whichever one you select, you need to find out what it is that you want for yourself. So the first part of getting that computer whirling and using it, again, this is the module, Computer Science for the Cancer Survivor, is you have to check your insurance. So everything is online now. So in the old days, you would call or they would give you a big catalog book of about a million doctors and you'd have to go through that. Now it's really simple. When you get your insurance card, whether it's through your work or personally, make sure you get to know the website. I happen to be United Healthcare. I don't know what you are, Angel, at the hospital. But
I've been 99.
So there's a website I go to, United Healthcare. It's so easy. That's really important. You want to make sure that the doctor that you choose pars with your insurance. Number two is male or female. Very aggressive or not so aggressive, more holistic, less holistic. And then the other things you want to look at is like geographically, are they close? Are they convenient? Because you don't want to go see someone who's 2 hours away. In addition, do you want to go to someone who's a solo practitioner? Or do you want to go to someone who's in a big group? These are all things you can find out on the computer. Do you want to go to somebody that's affiliated with a local hospital? Or not? Do you want to have someone who's in a multi-specialty practice like Crystal Run Healthcare or Middletown Medical? What are the technologies? So when you're researching, you want to see what practice technologies do they have? Can they do x-rays in their office? Can they do blood work in their office? Or do you go there, see an old, like Charlie Strober, my dear friend, who's been practicing for 50 years, has an office, has a woman who's been working with him probably for 50 years or at least 30 years. Everybody knows each other. It's like a family. But if you need anything, like Charlie's going to send you out for blood, send you out for an x-ray, send you out for everything. So it's more of a mom and pop shop, or you can have a high-tech primary care practice, like, as I said, Crystal Run or Middletown Medical or something like that. In addition, you want to know if you can reach your primary care physician by email or by text. Do they have Saturday appointments? Do they have evening appointments? what works with your particular schedule. And again, the style, you want to know the style, and these are all things. So you can ask for recommendations. There's nothing wrong with word of mouth, but I think you guys need to get on the computer and you got to do your homework and you got to get out there. You have to read their bios. Don't you want to know where your doctors went to school? Don't you want to know if there's any negative reviews? But that you have to be careful, because a patient might have a negative review and it may not be valid. So what I always tell people is take the three best reviews and three worst reviews and throw them in the garbage and then read the rest of them. And that's probably a more accurate, view or profile or shadow of what that doctor is. Check their background, make sure that they don't have any issues with the Board of Licensing or anything like that. And you might want to know where they were trained, or, were they trained at, University of Chernobyl, or were they trained at, Yale or Duke, NYU, might be something. And it'll also give you guys something to talk about. You want to make sure another key point is find out if they're board certified. I know a lot of doctors who do not have their board certification. It's becoming less and less common. There are still docs out there that haven't passed their boards. You might want to stay away from that. And we mentioned the Federation of State Medical Boards. You might want to check into that. So once you've done all your due diligence and you're on the computer and you're finding your doctor, then you want to set up a meeting. And at that point, when you're actually face-to-face or telehealth, which is going to be our next podcast about telehealth, and the one after that is YouTubing, to get more information about your medical situation, that'll kind of round out the module on using the computer science for the cancer survivor. So when you see the doctor, does the physician listen to you? Does the provider understand and respect your concerns? Does the doctor seem rushed or distracted? Like the doctor that I saw didn't really remember me at all. Does the doctor or provider seem knowledgeable? You may not even be seeing the MD or the DO. You might be seeing the nurse practitioner, which is just fine too. There's nothing. Nurse practitioners were meant to do primary care. So once you've done everything and you have a good fit, then guess what? You found the perfect primary care physician and you will be with them for life. Angel Santana, your thoughts.
Well, I also want to point out, which, can be its own topic, is that most people don't have a computer. Believe it or not, a lot of the people that we do, this is geared for people that have access. But so I want to just point out to, if anybody's listening, that few amount of people that are not able to get on a computer or is not computer savvy, you can still call the back of your insurance, because they do have people there that can search and answer questions that you would be able to get on a computer faster. But if you don't have access, that's something that we should also point out. We don't want to leave out those individuals because there are some people that still don't know how to use a computer. With that being said, would you agree? I mean,
I want to say thank you I didn't even think about that actually.
Yeah. No problem. And the last part I would say is, I think that Denise put this in, and you both did last week. It gives you a sense of peace of mind going in. Some people are so nervous to even go to the doctors. What most people are fearful of the dentist is the same feeling they get when they go to see a doctor. And, when you have all these key components in place, it puts you in a better perspective, a better light. But more importantly, it sets the tempo and it keeps you at peace walking in knowing they have your best interests at heart. And hopefully, the bedside manner and all that other process, comes to pass, and then everything is home free. But I think we touched base on a lot of that.
Yeah. And I think, again, getting back to the computer, if you read the reviews and what people have to say, you'll get a lot of that information. You'll say, right. Hey, Dr. Santana, he's such a lovely man and he's so caring and he's funny and he's handsome and he's smart and he looks really good in his Have Faith, Let It Begin t-shirt, which I don't have one yet. He's just absolutely the best fit for me. So do your homework, get out there, use your computer if you have one, and find your awesome primary care Angel, anything else to add before we do our gratitude shout outs?
No, I think it's safe to say that we are plugging along well. I think this is a great time to just remind each and every one of you that we're always available at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sundays. You know, this is our second season, closing in on 61. Well, we just completed now 61 episodes. And you can actually reach out to us. We right on your description page, when you're on your Croc podcast and you have selected this specific episode or any episode, there is a spot there and you will see what he's about to talk about, Tom, which is the gratitude shout outs, how you can get how you can reach us, how you can interact with us. We are not like any other podcast. We will speak directly to you. There is no middle person. What you see is what you get. You write to us, you're going to get Tom or you're going to get Angel.
Absolutely, Angel. I appreciate you saying that because, like I said, this year we did our first year as an experiment. We have a board meeting on Tuesday. We're going to eat some great food and have some great discussions. But year two, we're going to really get the word out and really try to touch as many survivors as we can. Shout outs to our board of directors. I'm really looking forward to seeing all you guys on Tuesday night. Can't wait. Thank you for everything you do for us and everything you do for our survivors. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Rod, you have been doing so much work for our survivors. Thank you for everything you do. You're very kind and very intelligent and a very ethical, fine person. And we are honored to work with you and to have you on our board. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte Larson, we have a great, I have a meeting with them soon. They're going to be making their yearly donation to help us continue our quest to keep you informed, our dear survivors, to keep you guys updated on all sorts of very important information that you need for your survivor journey. We really care a lot about you. We want you to have a great outcome. We want you to have a very peaceful life. We don't want you to have any stress or anxiety, and we certainly don't want you to have any pain or distress. And we say and end each podcast the same on behalf of Angel, myself, the board of directors. We wish each and every one of you a long, healthy, happy, cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. God keep you. Peace.